Morning, everybody. The House State Affairs Committee will come to order at 9:05 after nine. Present with us today is Representative Dahl, Representative Coghill, Representative Carl Johansson, Representative Bob Rhodes, Vice Chair, myself, Bob Lynn. And today we have two bills and a resolution on the agenda. We're going to do kind of reverse order, which you may have we're going to do SB 171 first. Then we'll do that's judicial retention candidacy withdrawal. And then we'll do HB 252, relief of organ bone marrow donations. And then HJR 25, supporting the right to form labor unions. And so with that, we will begin with SB 171. And whom do we have to present that bill?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. I'm Jason Hooley.
Good morning, sir.
Office of Lieutenant Governor. I'll be testifying on his behalf and that of the Division of Elections this morning.
Okay.
And SB 171 is a solution to a problem that the division was faced with in the last general election when we were contacted by a candidate for judicial retention who was considering withdrawing his name from the general election ballot. But currently there's no statutory
provision. Can you repeat that last part again?
Yes, sir.
I missed it.
In 2006, the Division of Elections was contacted by a candidate who is considering withdrawing his name from the retention election. But we currently have no statutory mechanism to make that happen. We have provisions that allow political candidates to withdraw or nominating petition candidates to withdraw, but there's no mechanism for judicial candidates, and this bill would create such a provision. All they'll have to do is notify the Division of Elections 48 days before the general election in the same way that a political candidate would withdraw, and that would be permissible. And that's all the bill does.
And this is kind of what I call Boy Scout Be Prepared bill. Like I've had some of those myself. is it something that's going on right now? We need to get this out. And we hope to pass this out today.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, the candidate did not ultimately withdraw. But had he done so, the Department of Law would have advised us to follow the same provisions that political candidates withdraw by. And we're just looking for a little more statutory support and guidance for allowing that to happen should a judicial candidate wish to withdraw.
Very fine. Thank you.
Yeah.
Representative Dahl.
Just a real quick question. I notice in one of the attachments here, the memorandum, it says will be allowed if the candidate submits his or her withdrawal in writing, 48 hours. But it's not in the bill itself. Would that be a good idea to have that added in writing, or would it be okay to have them just telephone or send you a fax? And that would be writing, but.
I think the in section B of the bill.
I missed first paragraph. I'm so sorry. It's actually there. It must be in writing or the signature of the candidate notice of withdrawal. So
yes, ma'am.
I remove my
okay.
question here. Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you very much. Any other questions for this sponsor? If not, I entertain a motion to move the bill. Not. I don't want everybody to speak at once. Representative Rogers.
Thank you. I would move that we pass Senate Bill number 171, which would be 25-GS1077/A, with any individual recommendations or any fiscal notes.
Okay. Any objection? If not, SB 171 passes in this committee.
Thank you
for bringing in. I like the efficiency on this.
Okay.
Thank you.
But when you all try to move a bill at the same time, it gets very confusing.
Well, yeah. Here's why it didn't. Okay. Here's why it didn't. We may want to. What Representative Dahl brought up was that it says in here that it has to be in writing in 48 days, and over here it just says noticed in 48 days. It doesn't say writing.
Okay. We'll take a short out of these while we do the paperwork. After nine. Next up is Senate Bill 171. We have.
No.
Looks like Representative Ledoux. Am I wrong?
252.
That's 252. Okay, well, maybe which is, that last bill is so good, we're going to do it twice. HB 252, Reverend Ledoux, and looks like we have a CS here, so somebody needs to make a motion to adopt the CS.
Mr. Chair, I would move that we adopt CS for House Bill Number 252, Hess, as okay. our working draft.
Okay, and without objection, yes? I have the Hess version before it's backslash E.
That's what I have.
I didn't get that.
It's already before the committee.
No need to.
Before the committee?
Right.
Okay. I'll take off my little yellow note there that misled me. Okay, with that, then we'll consider HB 252 and welcome Representative Ledoux and your assistant there. Please present the bill.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. Thank you for hearing this bill. I'm Gabrielle Ledoux, the representative from House District 36, and with me is my aide, Christine Marasigan. Basically, this bill would require the state of Alaska to grant a paid leave of absence to an employee for purposes of making a personal organ or bone marrow donation. The employer would not be required to provide more than 80 hours of leave. However, the leave may not be less than 40 hours unless the employee requests fewer hours. Life Services, Life Alaska Donor Services, has stated that there are 160 patients here in Alaska waiting for a kidney transplant. There are less than 20 kidney transplant recipients in the state of Alaska each year. Under 100 people in Alaska are awaiting a bone marrow transplant. And if you've got any questions, you can ask my aide here, Christine Marasigan, and she can probably explain the differences between the original bill and the CS and so forth.
And yes, if I may, I had here in my book version E, and I have on my desk version M. Which one are we working on, though?
M.
Version M, sir.
Version M.
M.
M for Marvel.
Yeah,
yes.
Excuse me. Representative Rose's motion to adopt
four
versions E or M?
Well, it looked like it would have been adopted. Let's make a motion to adopt M so we're sure.
Yes.
So moved without objection.
No, I'm going to object for the purposes of explanation.
Well, let's make the motion first.
Yeah, let's get the bill. CS for House Bill Number. I'd move that we adopt C as our working document. CS House Bill 252, that would be version M.
And I'll object for
okay.
a discussion.
Representative Grunberg.
I'll object for discussion of the differences.
Thank you. Go ahead, Christine.
For the record, my name is Christine R. Marasigan. I'm legislative aide to Representative Gabrielle Ledoux. In the version M that you see before you, after there were amendments made in the Hess Committee on this bill, there were a few language changes that needed to be made. Number one, the cap of hours had been left out because it had been inadvertently deleted. It is put back in on page 2, I believe it is, line 16. Basically, in this version of the bill, all of the sections conform to what is already in statute by adjusting for one change, and that is in section 4, which basically says that paid administrative leave could be granted for the purposes of donating organ or bone marrow.
Thank you. Any questions?
I'll move my objection.
First, Reverend Dodd.
Oh, no, I'll do it after he removes his objection.
I'll remove my objection so we can adopt the CS.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Objection removed. Version is adopted. Any questions
for you? I do have a question. It says paid administrative leave may not include time spent on screening process to determine whether the employee is a compatible donor. My understanding is that's a fairly lengthy process, is it not? And we could not include that in here. Could you just talk about that a bit?
Representative Dahl, through the chair, I'm really glad you pointed out that language. And I believe Representative Roses was at the committee meeting when this was discussed. It was a suggestion from the committee specifically to delete the language about anything referring to testing, because somebody could have multiple times in which they could request for leave. However, the process in order to find a donor match for screening, for bone marrow, it's quite simple. You donate blood, you can go and get a cheek swab. It doesn't hardly take any time at all. The process to go through to find that match takes time, but you don't necessarily need the person who's going to be the donor at that time. However, the process to screen somebody for donating a kidney is usually a lot more involved. But in terms of the screening time, quite often a person will know the if it's not through the big sort of organ donor bank, they might actually know the person to whom they're donating to because, you know, there's not enough donors on the list.
What does that have to do with the time? Excuse me.
Representative Dahl, through the chair. A lot of times for the time period, for folks who are already on the list, they've already kind of gone through the screening process. So okay. If they're already on the list, it's the idea that they're going to use that time for the actual donation. However, you're right. For kidney donors, if somebody said, well, I want to become eligible to be a kidney donor, then, yeah, that does take a little more time.
Yes, thank you. And I would like to stay on that subject just for a moment because I know that I have made an inquiry about seeing if I had a kidney that was compatible, you know, with our friend here in the house. And I understood that it took a great deal of time to do this, to just go through that early testing process. And I would think that we would want to say something about that here.
Yeah. Reverend Glenberg.
Thank you.
Did you have a response to?
Oh.
No, sir.
I've got a response. You know, sometimes you do things in order to get a bill out of committee, and the first draft of this bill didn't limit it that way, but we decided to keep the bill moving. And we would consider if this committee wanted to put back language, we wouldn't consider that an unfriendly amendment.
As I've been informed by rule chair, don't you think it's friendly or unfriendly? We learned this in a different committee. But would this, if we did that, and I'm not opposed to doing it, but if we did it, would that slow the process of getting this thing out? Would it not be better to put it out now and then come back later on with another bill that would expand it? Because time is of the essence, both for some people who may be involved in this and also for the legislature. Would it slow the process if we did such a thing?
It might slow the process in that the folks that were concerned about it in the committee of first referral might not be favorable to the bill if it came out of committee without their restrictions on it.
And I assume that would change the fiscal note, too.
There's an indeterminate fiscal note, as I understand.
Representative Greenberg, then Representative Dahl.
I'll yield to
Representative Dahl.
It would seem to me that all we would need to do is delete the not word in line 18, would we not? Would that not be a simple fix? Paid administrative leave may include time spent on the screening process?
They're saying yes.
You're saying that yes? Governor Gunberg?
Thank you. I noticed that also. I would hope that we would at least try it. And if it came into problem, you can always put the word not back in. It's not often that I do support a short title, but I'm doing so in this case, and I have a reason. When I served before my chief of staff, a guy named Stan Robbins, who was well known around here at the time, was Sharon Sisna's husband. He lived a number of years because he too got a kidney transplant. And he was a wonderful person. Would you consider it an unfriendly amendment if we added his name to the names?
No, I wouldn't.
If you added that where?
In the title, short title, lines 5 and 6. I know she'd be very grateful, and so would I. I have another thing too, Mr. Chair.
All right.
I'll add my name as a co-sponsor. And these were just some thoughts. I read this fairly carefully. How about an employee who cares for the person? Because they have to go through an operation to remove the organ. If an employee spouse wanted to take any time to care for the person who was recovering from giving this, would that be killing the bill with kindness? Yes, it would. Okay, I won't think about that any further. Okay.
Representative Grunberg, through the chair, that would already be covered under the current statutes that would say that a person could have leave time for to care for somebody who's sick. But right now, the way the statutes read for all of the different types of leave a state of employee person can take, because you're a healthy person when you donate, it's an elective surgery. So it's not part of sort of what's already on the books.
Okay, and I have two other questions.
All right.
Line 28. About 4 years ago, in this committee, as a matter of fact, we authored a bill that passed and some of the members will remember, that no longer are a lot of people paid by warrants. Now a lot of people are paid electronically. And is there a reason that you need to say, and who is paid by a warrant by the state? How about if we just said, who is paid by the state?
Representative Grunberg, the chair, I think that's a very good observation, and the language is in there because it was recommended by the HES committee.
And finally, Mr. Chair, we have the various, and I'm looking at lines 24 through basically 26, various state agencies. And I just wanted to be sure that we're not missing any. And I thought, how about the AHFC? And I don't know if the Permanent Fund Corporation would have to be included also, and the Judicial Council and the Commission on Judicial Conduct. Those entities might technically not be among the entities who are listed. And I think you want to include all state employees, do you not?
That's the intent.
Mr. Chair, when it comes time to deal with amendments, I'll offer something conceptual, because we don't want to leave off any potential.
Yeah, and we don't want to delay this in the process because of the lateness of the hour here. Representative Coghill.
I guess my question is going to be, for the screening process, what is the typical time frame? Can go through a process, because I'm amenable to leaving in the restrictions if it's reasonable.
Representative Coghill, through the chair, as I stated before with bone marrow, it's fairly simple in terms that it's a cotton swab, and it that happens more in a sort of laboratory setting. For kidney, though, it gets more complicated, because first the patient needs to go through a whole screening process to make sure that they're healthy enough to donate the organ. Secondly, there's a lot of blood work that has to get done. And last but not least, up until the time of the surgery, they're constantly monitoring particular blood levels for the donor so that they can ensure that when the transplant actually takes place that the recipient does not reject the body does not reject the organ. From my conversations with two different agencies in Alaska, that can take anywhere from the time that you start to the time of donation. It can happen in spurts of a day or two or a week or two, but right up until the time of the donation, it's the way the testing happens that's a little bit different, which is probably why the member from the HES committee wanted to make sure that there was some restrictions saying that if somebody's going to request for a leave of absence, it's one leave of absence and not necessarily that you're going, you might have to fly somewhere, get tested, come back, and then maybe you go another time to actually do the donation of the organ.
So then, Mr. Chairman, my understanding is the request for leave could happen more than once and could fall easily within these restrictions if they had to do it multiple times. So I think you talk about employment and how managers can manage the time of their employees. I think that might be the better way to go if that's what's needed, that every time they apply, instead of applying once and the employer not knowing if and when they're going to get back, this wouldn't stop them from going multiple times, though, I don't think, if I understand correctly.
Is that correct?
Representative Coghill, through the chair, my understanding is that if you request the leave for organ donation, it's a one time to do the actual donation and recuperation time. At least that was the intent of the last committee.
Okay, any other question from the committee?
Can we make an amendment then?
Well, yeah, we close public testimony first.
Okay, thank you.
Any questions from anybody online? Negative, anybody in the audience would like to expand on this? If not, I thank you for your presenting this bill. I think it's basically a good bill. Public testimony is closed for committee discussion. Any further discussion? Any potential amendments anybody would like to make?
I would like to make that amendment of deleting the not and having that work.
Okay, would you give us a broad conceptual statement on that?
Yes, it would be paid administrative leave may include time spent on a screening process to determine whether the employee is a compatible donor, and we could make that specifically for a kidney transplant.
Page and line. I wouldn't tie it down because we have all kinds of organs.
Oh, okay, thank you.
And
that would be page 2, line 18.
Page 2, line 18.
Delete not.
Okay. Any objection to that? If not, amendment number 1 passes?
No, I object.
You do object?
Yeah.
Okay. Speak to your objection.
Just a little bit of background as to what the discussion was in the other committee. And you heard the sponsor of the bill state that they could go in for a blood test, and then they could go in for general health screening to make sure that they're, you don't want to give somebody a kidney and it be diseased to start with. So part of the whole process of the wellness check and then the blood screening, most of those are done locally. You don't have to travel somewhere else in order to get that done. The understanding of putting that restriction in was that you didn't want somebody to go out and have to take a day or two of leave for getting blood work, and then take another 2 or 3 or 4 days of leave if they're going to go get this checked. Or, they don't have to fly to where the person is, except when they actually donate. At least that's the way it was explained to us. The final part was they do more extensive and further testing and screening directly before the operation would take place. That is covered because it's part of that process of donation. Mm-hmm. So they may go down 3 or 4 days before they're going to have the actual donation to the surgery that occurs, and they're doing screening at that point. That would be included. But what they didn't want to have was the scenario where somebody would take off and be gone for an extended period of time, then come back, be gone again, and the disruption of the employment situation. That's why the words were very carefully put in there, may not. It didn't say shall not. It didn't say shall. It didn't say never will. It just says may not. I mean, if there are special circumstances, it's still giving them the opportunity to appeal their case. At least that was part of what we were. Anyway, that's part of what we talked about. But we didn't think it was so restrictive that it would prevent somebody from being able to donate.
You talking about the Hess Committee?
The Hess Committee. At least that was the thinking of the committee.
Reverend Grinberg?
Thank you. Unfortunately, that's not the way a court would interpret it. May not prohibits, like you may not kill somebody else. That doesn't give you the option.
Oh, yeah, it gives me the option. It just means I may go to jail.
Well, you catch the drift, as Mae West would say.